You know, we talk a lot about spiritual maturity, about growing in the Lord and so forth. And I've taught a lot about this over the years. Those of you that have been here, you know that. Those of you that have gotten the tapes or listened to the radio broadcast and so forth, you know, you realize that so much of what I teach deals with us growing up spiritually and becoming everything that God wants. And, you know, it's kind of interesting in that there are a lot of people that talk about wanting change and wanting to be more like Christ, I guess is a good way to put it. But in reality, I'm not so sure that's really what they want. I'm not so sure that they... I guess you can say it like this. The talk is there, but the effort isn't. You know, I mean, I can talk about wanting to look like Arnold all I want, but if I don't ever go to the health club and start to lift weights, it ain't going to happen. And I can, you know, get all the weightlifter magazines I want and, you know, just line my walls with their pictures and all this other, but that's not going... You know, I can't lay hands on those pictures and receive a transference of muscular anointing. It's not going to happen. I have to do my part to develop those muscles. Well, when it comes to spiritual maturity, I'm not really sure what it is that seems to be a block for some people. No, let me rephrase that. Seems to be a block for most Christians. I don't want to say that it's one thing. I don't want to say it's because they're ignorant, or that it's because they're stubborn, or that it's because they're very unconcerned. I mean, I really can't say it's any one thing. I'm sure it could be a combination of things for different people. But the bottom line is, I think one of the main reasons that a lot of people don't press in is because maybe they don't really understand what's going to happen. I'm not talking about fear of what will happen. I'm talking about they don't really understand. What I want to do tonight is just go through a very few things that will happen for you if you make the decision to grow spiritually. Now, let me just throw this out. And you better let this sink in. Whether you're listening to this on the radio or at home on a tape or CD or whatever, attending church does not produce spiritual maturity.
Well, then why should I go?
Because God says you're supposed to go. But attending church, you're not... Just remember I gave you the example. I can't lay hands on the pictures of the guys with the muscles and just absorb that anointing. You cannot just attend church and absorb spiritual maturity. You can experience the results of spiritual maturity through people who minister, but you are not going to absorb it. And you cannot come up to a prayer line and have somebody lay their hands on you and you get shazammed with spiritual anointing and maturity. It doesn't happen. But at the same time, if you want it, if you want these results, what I'm going to share with you, and it's not nearly a complete list, but I hope it's enough maybe to stimulate some thought on the part of people who are listening to this to where, you know, you might want to step things up a notch or two. And I'm in this as well, okay? You know, I am not at the pinnacle of spiritual maturity. I'm still growing. And I have to do my part as well. I cannot go to conference after conference and have anointed preachers minister to me and call me out and give me words from the Lord and so forth. You, God says He wants to do this and you are called to do great and mighty exploits for the Lord and so forth. It's like, hooray, hooray, hallelujah. And then sit back and wait for those exploits to happen. It's not going to happen. Listen, there are people I've called out over the years, and I've told them what the Lord wanted, and they haven't done a thing about it. It's like they're waiting for it to happen. And God's on the other side. Let me explain to you. Let me give you a little idea here about these words from the Lord. Many times words from the Lord are God's intentions if you do your part. Words from the Lord are not simply sovereign moves He is going to do in you, whether you want it or not. So when you get a word from the Lord about your destiny, when you get a word through a preacher or somebody, you get a word from the Lord, about your future, about your calling, you've got to understand it is not going to happen if you don't do your part. It's like God is saying, look, I'm going to open this door here, this door of my will for your life. And I want you to see this. This is what I want to do in you. This is my destiny for you. This is my calling on your life. This is what I want to have happen. And if you do your part spiritually, I will be able to bring this to pass through you. And a lot of people seem to think just because they got a word from the Lord that it's going to happen. No. It's twofold. It's His intentions coupled with our efforts spiritually, our spiritual efforts, that'll bring it to pass. Open first to 1 Corinthians. Because I'm going to be showing you benefits of spiritual maturity tonight. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now look at verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Okay, now, one of the benefits of spiritual maturity is a manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit. But there's a downside to this. The book of Corinthians was written to a bunch of spiritually immature people. You say, well, Brother Martin, how can you say that one of the marks of spiritual maturity is a manifestation of the gifts if these gifts are identified in a book written to people who are spiritually immature? All right, let me ask you a question. These people were very immature. We know that. Paul is correcting their doctrine all throughout this book. And he calls them babes. He says, I can't even give you meat. Yet gifts were manifesting. How many of us were raised in a church where the gifts never manifested? What does that say? Now, I'm not trying to be mean about this. But guys, the facts is the facts. And the truth is what it be. If you don't even believe in the gifts, what's that say about where you are? Now, you might be the nicest person in the world. Seriously, you might be one of the greatest Christians from that perspective. You might be a wonderful pastor as we know it, as you are. You're nice to people. You understand what I'm saying? But there's got to be a reason why the Holy Spirit isn't moving to minister His gifts through you. Not just as a pastor, but I'm talking about the whole congregation of 10,000 people. There's got to be a reason. It's because you don't even believe at this level. At least the Corinthian church, as messed up as they were, they at least believed enough at the level of the gifts. Do you see what I'm saying? And the gifts manifested through them. Now, here's the thing. There are a lot of Christians who are sitting back and they're waiting for the gifts to manifest. Well, I don't understand why it is God doesn't want the gifts to manifest through me. Have you ever considered it's because you're so immature you don't believe God wants them to manifest? Now think about this. Have you considered the fact that maybe if you took the attitude that God by the Holy Spirit wants to manifest His gifts through you, that just might open a door for the Holy Spirit to begin to work something in you? But see, so many Christians, they look so down on themselves. They see themselves in the light. Really, almost, they're capturing a vision of what Satan wants them to see of themselves. They don't even see themselves qualified for this. Are you born again filled with the Holy Ghost? Well, yeah. Well, yeah, but the gifts never manifest, but they should. We're not talking about 24 hours a day, you know, lightning bolts coming out of your fingers and your hair standing on, well, mine does. You get a haircut like mine, your hair will stand on end. Well, what I'm saying is that as immature as the Corinthian church was, these guys were mature enough to understand that the gifts could operate. They believed in it, and the gifts did operate. Most probably the right word, In most Spirit-filled churches today, whether you want to call them charismatic or Pentecostal or whatever you want to call them, most of the people in those churches have resigned themselves to the fact that the gifts are supposed to operate through the pastor or the visiting preacher. They don't consider the fact that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's talking about everybody. That each individual person is an individual that the Holy Spirit wants to manifest the gifts through. Now, granted, the pastor and the visiting preachers, they're the point man. In other words, they're the point, the focal point. So yeah, the gifts will manifest through them, or should. But that doesn't leave everybody else out. You have to come to the place of belief. Let me ask you a question. Just think about this for a moment. You go into Starbucks, and you sit down, and you're drinking your latte. And there's a person next to you sitting there drinking their latte. What if the Holy Spirit wanted that person to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? What impact do you think it would make if the Holy Spirit was able to move through you with the gift of the word of knowledge? Well, that would never happen. I rest my case. Sir, excuse me, but you may think this is really weird. But I have this, well, I really believe the Lord just told me that you're going through a tough time right now in your marriage. And I just want you to know that God can help you. Now listen, you get a word from the Lord like that, and you share it, that person's going to look at you and say, who on earth are you? Not out of condemnation, but out of, how did you know? Is that not an open door to minister? Whether they accept Jesus, whether it's nothing more than a gospel seed sowing opportunity or not. I mean, at least it is a step in the direction of trying to draw that person to the cross of Christ. Okay? So, one of the benefits of spiritual maturity are the gifts operating. Now let me show you something else. Turn to John chapter 14. Think about this. If you want the gifts of the Spirit to begin to operate in you, through you, then do what's necessary to mature spiritually. It's guaranteed to happen. Every single one of you in here, it doesn't matter who you are, if you want to see the gifts of the Spirit to begin to operate in your life, you do what's necessary to mature and grow spiritually, and the gifts will begin to operate. It's not because you're so special. It's because God needs this to happen. But over here in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, let me show you the difference here in this. Here he's saying, those that believe on me, the works that I do, shall they do also. He's not talking about gifts. He is talking about works. In other words, you have matured from the occasional manifestation of a gift into the spiritual level of maturity where now you can work on a continual basis. A manifestation of the works. This is a level that goes beyond just the operation of the gifts. But Jesus says this is possible for every person. If you want to get to the place of being able to do the works of Jesus, God is saying you can do it. It doesn't matter who you are. God is not holding back on any of us. What qualifies us is our level of spiritual maturity. Every single person in the body of Christ has the potential to do the works of Christ because Jesus said so. So if we grow and we mature spiritually, then eventually we are going to grow into that place. We're going to grow beyond an occasional manifestation of the gifts. We are going to grow into working. We're going to grow into having a job. Punching that spiritual time clock, so to speak. We will grow into the place of doing the works. You see, you've got to get to the place of believing this. Of believing that you can do what Jesus did. How many blind people have you ever come across? How many deaf people have you ever come across? How many people have come to you with some sort of illness or sickness and asked you to pray for them? How many hospital rooms have you visited where there's been a loved one in there and you pray for them, but in the bed next to them, somebody worse off. Don't you think it'd be nice to leave that hospital room with both of them packing their bags to go home? Do you think that would happen if Jesus had walked in the room? You better believe it. Your friend or loved one, please pray for me. Boom, you pray. Woohoo! They're healed. That person in the bed next, do you think they're just going to lay there? Don't you think they're going to look over at you and say, excuse me. But while you're in the mood, could you come over here and help me out? You see what I'm saying? And the doctor walks in and he sees what's happened. And he said, well, you know, I've got 32 other patients in this hospital right now. Would you like to take a walk with me? See, as Christians, we sit back and we think this stuff is so far out, so Star Wars, that it's beyond comprehension. And here the Son of God who died on the cross for you and me is saying right here in His Word, listen, you can do this. One of the benefits of spiritual maturity is maturing into the place of actually doing the works of Jesus Christ. Look over in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. No, Ephesians chapter 3. Wait a minute. Maybe it's Ephesians chapter 1. It's Ephesians chapter 1. I beg your pardon. One of the benefits of spiritual maturity is knowing what you're doing when you preach. Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know, excuse me, what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And I'm not going to read all the rest of this. What I'm getting at here, the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, and you'll know what the hope of His calling. Using this verse to say this. One of the benefits of spiritual maturity is having the eyes of your understanding enlightened to where you are going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt what your calling is in the body of Christ. You are going to know whether you're called to be an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. You're going to know whatever you're called to be. I know what I'm called to be. I'm called to be a nurse. No, you're not. Your occupation may be nurse, but you're not called to be a nurse. I'm called to be an auto mechanic. No, you're not. See, one of the benefits of spiritual maturity is you're going to come to the place of understanding not only what you are, but also what you aren't. You're going to come to the place of understanding what God has called you, not what man thinks you're called to do. There are too many Christians that don't understand, they don't know what their calling is. I want to know what my ministry calling. I want to know what my ministry. You know one of the reasons why God isn't telling some Christians? They've been seeking for their ministry calling now for 25 years. You want to know one of the reasons why He's not telling them? Because if He told them now, they try to do it now. And they're so immature they can't hear Him speak. So He's not going to tell them what they're called to do because they won't wait on Him for instructions on how to do it. They'll just jump out there and try it. This is how a lot of churches get started. Guys think they're called to be pastors. They run out and they start churches way ahead of God. And some of them aren't even called to pastor. They just think that's what they're called to do. One of the benefits of spiritual maturity is you are going to come to the place of knowing what God has called you to do. You're going to know it. Now, not pointing any fingers, but if you're here and you've been in the body of Christ, you're a Christian, you know, you've been a Christian for quite a while, you know, we're talking a few years, and you're still not sure what God's called you to do, then you just identified that there's an area of your life that's not where it should be with God. This isn't condemnation, this is revelation. It's trying to help you understand this is a benefit of spiritual maturity. So if you do what you're supposed to do to mature spiritually, this is something that's going to happen for you. It's a guaranteed thing. Another, look over in Psalm 75. This is another benefit of spiritual maturity that ties right in with this whole concept of your eyes being open to know what you're called to do. Psalm 75, verse 4. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Now what he's talking about where he says, lift not up the horn, this is symbolism, and it's talking about, don't do it on your own strength. Don't try to produce it by yourself. Verse 5, lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck. He's identifying pride and how I can do this and I can make it happen and I can accomplish this thing. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another. What's this speaking of? Well, relative to this message, one of the benefits of spiritual maturity is not only knowing what you're called to do, but it's also being promoted by God further into that calling. People can promote. There are a lot of people that have wanted me to promote them in their ministry. There are people that have gotten upset with me because, well, no. There are people who have been politely disappointed. Let's say it like that. Because I wouldn't ordain them. They're not doing squat for their ministry. They just want to be ordained. It's like, well, what are you called to be? Well, I'm called to be a... And then tell me, you know, called to be a... Well, what are you doing in your ministry? Well, nothing. Let me get this straight. You ain't doing nothing, but you want ordination that says you are. Yeah, I don't think so. And there have been people that haven't liked that very well. The more that you mature... A lot of people are frustrated because... When are the doors going to open? When are the doors going to open? Well, if you go to a church, remember, this message isn't just for the people in this church, it's for the body of Christ. If you're listening to this and you go to a church and your pastor is spiritual enough to hear God, he's going to know when to start using you within that church. And he'll do it according to God's timing. And yet there are people in churches, they run to the pastor, I've been accused of holding people back in their ministry. I mean, literally me, not just other pastors, but I mean, I've been accused of holding people back. You've got to understand, that'd be the dumbest thing in the world for me to do. We need all the help we can get. And I'm going to hold somebody back? Why? Why would I do that? Every person that's a part of this ministry is an asset to this ministry. And if you're an asset to this ministry, you're an asset to me. You're an asset to the body of Christ. I would be a fool to hold anyone back. But I'd also be a fool to promote somebody under my own strength. I'd be a fool to lift up the horn with a stiff neck and promote somebody according to my timing. You see this? God is the one who will begin to promote you. God is the one who... You say, well, how does it happen? Well, it works differently for different people. But one of the benefits of spiritual maturity is that God is going to be involved in your life more and more, promoting you in whatever He has called you to do, because He needs you promoted further into your ministry. If you're going to accomplish kingdom purpose here on this earth, He's got to promote you. He's got to work to elevate you and raise you up higher and so on and so forth. And He wants to. He doesn't want to hold anybody back. He wants to move you forward into the fullness of what He's called you to do. Let's look at another benefit, Mark 11. Mark 11. And take a look at verses 23 and 24. Jesus says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them." More benefits of spiritual maturity. You're going to get what you say and what you pray for. It's going to happen. You say, "Oh, now come on, Brother Martin, I pray for a lot of stuff and it doesn't happen." And no, you might not want to confess that right now. One of the benefits of spiritual maturity, you are going to get what you say and you're going to get what you pray for. But there's a qualifier for this. Look in John chapter 15. In John 15, take a look at verse 7. John 15, verse 7. Jesus said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Now see, one of the things that's going to happen in spiritual maturity is that His words, God's word, God's will dominate your own thoughts, your own words, and your own will. Therefore, as you begin to speak and you begin to pray, the things that you speak and the things that you begin to pray are going to be God's words and God's will. That is why you will get what you say and you will get what you pray for. It's not you're just going to get whatever you speak. I want 14 Cadillacs so I can give them to all my friends at Christmas. Well, I hope I'm on that list. But that's not what this is talking about. It's talking about God's words, God's will, coming out of your heart. This is a benefit of spiritual maturity. That's why you will get what you say and you will get what you pray for. It will happen. Look over in John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. One of the benefits of spiritual maturity, you are going to recognize the voice of God when He speaks to you. You're going to know the difference between your own funny imaginations and His voice. You're going to know when He talks. You're going to recognize it. A lot of people, I mean, let's face it, haven't we all? I wish I could hear God. I wish God would speak to me. How do you know that He hasn't been speaking to you, but you haven't recognized it? How do you know that what some of the things you thought were just thoughts of your own imaginations, but really weren't? It was God speaking to you, telling you what He wanted you to do. But as you mature spiritually, you will get to the place to where you're going to recognize the voice. Didn't Jesus? He said, I only do what God tells me to do, only do what I hear and say what I hear. You can get to that point. As you mature spiritually, that doesn't mean everybody's always going to be in agreement with you, but you will be in agreement with God because you will hear His voice and you'll know what He's saying. Look in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Look at verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but His that sent me. And if you look in chapter 8, verse 32, He says, And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. One of the benefits of spiritual maturity, your doctrine is going to be corrected. And the reason it's going to be corrected is because the more mature you become spiritually, the more teachable you become. Because one of the characteristics of a person who is spiritually mature is that they are teachable. Being teachable does not mean that you just are willing to sit in a pew and tolerate a sermon and listen to it. Being teachable means you hear truth, you compare that truth to what you've always believed, and if what you believe is wrong compared to the truth, you replace what you've always believed with the truth. That becomes the standard of your life. And there are a lot of Christians. Listen, you and I, I'll bet you we could sit in here tonight and each one of us come up with a list of 15 or 20 Christians we know. They do love God. They're not in sin, but they are not teachable. Oh, they're only teachable. They're teachable to the point of as long as what you say doesn't upset the apple cart of what I want to believe, we're all right. But the moment you teach something and show me something from Scripture that contradicts what I want to believe, we part ways and you're not as much of my friend as what you used to be. We all probably know people like that. Now, I'm not trying to be mean, but those people are excessively spiritually immature. I don't care what they say. And this isn't a slam on people. If you don't know what you're maturing toward, it's kind of hard to understand what's happening. And this message tonight is about what will happen in your life. Becoming teachable. This is interesting. Becoming teachable is not a sign of weakness, it's a sign of strength. Refusing to be teachable is a sign of gross weakness and immaturity. Because a person who is spiritually maturing is willing to say, I've been wrong about this over here, but now, praise God, I'm going to be right because of what I'm seeing in the Word, because of what I'm hearing taught, and how I'm seeing it in God's Word. So being teachable is a sign of strength. It's a sign of, let me put it like this. If you want to be a real man, you got to be teachable. If you're going to be a real wimp, be stubborn.
Brother Martin, next time I see you, I'm going to reach to that radio and grab you. I'm going to
take it up with God. This is His Word. But one of the signs of spiritual maturity, you're going to become more and more teachable. You're going to become, from this aspect of it, you're going to become more and more like that clay, moldable in the hands of the master teacher, so to speak. You will conform to the image of truth. Galatians chapter 5. Here's another benefit. There are some people, I don't know if this is a prophetic thing at this moment. I don't want to think it's a present tense thing. There are some people, they are just not receiving this message. It's bouncing right off a wall. They are not receiving it at all. That's okay. Because it's not me you're accountable to. It's God. And you are going to be accountable for this message now that you've heard it. Praise the Lord. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. One of the signs of spiritual maturity is that you begin bearing the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we've talked about this before, and we've taught about this extensively in the past, how the Word says the fruit of the Spirit, that's a capital S in front of Spirit. It should not be a capital S, because it is not up to the Holy Ghost alone whether or not this fruit is manifested in your life. This is the fruit of your born-again spirit, because this is a character definition of God Himself. And the moment that you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you receive the nature of God. It is out of that nature, the nature of your born-again life, that this fruit is supposed to be manifested. Now, the Holy Spirit will help you, but it's not up to Him to make it happen. It's up to you to mature to the place spiritually where you begin bearing this fruit. There are people that have said, well, you know, if God wanted this to be born in my life, then He'd just do it. You'd have to put up with me till He starts making this stuff come to pass. No. No, we don't. We go tell you to stand in the corner. This right here, it's the fruit of your born-again spirit, your new nature, the life of God in you. And one of the signs of spiritual maturity is that all of this that we just read, it becomes a lifestyle as opposed to forced control. And here's what I mean. When it's a lifestyle, you don't have to force yourself to try and demonstrate this stuff on the outside while you're cussing somebody out on the inside. You understand what I mean? That's because it is born out of your heart, not your emotions. And when it becomes your lifestyle, it dominates the emotions. Doesn't eliminate them. The emotions will always be there saying, oh, please, just turn me loose. This can be 5 minutes of your time. But the power of God's life in you is saying, no, we're not having that anymore. You stay put. I know what you want to do because I've let you do it too many times in the past. And you've got me in trouble before, too. And I didn't forget it. So no, you don't get to rise up and make a mess out of things. It becomes a lifestyle. Listen, over the years I've talked to Christians, and they said things like, I just don't know why I'm like this. Well, I can tell you, it's because you're spiritually immature. I just don't know why it is. Every time she says that, I go bonkers. It's because you're spiritually immature. I just wish God would take this out of me. He's not. His life in you is supposed to conquer it. It's not going to be removed. The potential will be there. And listen, everybody's different. We all have different personalities. Some folks are just naturally more reserved than other people, but that's not the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit never happens until you become born again. After you become born again, then you have the capacity to bear this fruit. Because it's the kind of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, etc., etc., that the world can't produce. It can only be produced by the life of God in you. It's a whole different, like Jesus talked about, the peace that passes all understanding. So one of the benefits of spiritual maturity is that you begin demonstrating this fruit as a lifestyle. Let me show you another one. First Thessalonians. Chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And verse 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I use this verse to illustrate. One of the benefits of spiritual maturity is that you are going to come to the place of being able to clearly identify the difference between your spirit and your soul. You're going to clearly be able to differentiate between the operation of the mind of Christ and the mind of the emotions, the mind of the will, the mind of the flesh, the mind of personal desires. You're going to come to the place of being more sensitive to the life of God in you, your born-again spirit, more sensitive to that than you ever have been, and really more sensitive to that than you are even to your own soul. Because up to this point, the soul, well, now let me say it a little bit differently. For all Christians, the moment you get born again, you're still dominated by your soul. You have the life of God in you, but the soul is still a dominating factor. And it's only through spiritual growth and maturity that you come to the place to where the spirit begins dominating the soul. And you begin to differentiate, to understand, to clearly know the difference between what is a spirit thing and what is a soul thing. I'm not talking Holy Ghost. I'm talking about your born-again spirit, the life of God, being led of the life of God, being led of the Spirit, not Holy Spirit, your born-again spirit, your new nature. The more you mature in Christ, the more you're going to understand the difference between a spirit thing and a soul thing. Okay, now, there are so many other things we could talk about here. We could add to this list. I mean, a huge amount we could add to this list. Everything that I've mentioned tonight, every single one of these things and more, if you want it, you can have it, because all of this is available to every single person, no exception. Now here's the thing. There are so many Christians that want to make excuses. Well, I just don't understand. I just can't. I'm just not. It just is. And it's not like they're trying to, in some cases, they're trying to, you know, shirk their responsibilities. But in some cases, the thing is, they've allowed themselves to be deceived by Satan, or they've joined in and helped deceive themselves. They honestly struggle to understand that they can do this. But listen, it's one of two things. God, you either can have all of this, or God's a liar. Now, what does that mean? Well, for one thing, I know God's not a liar. Because if God's a liar, I don't know if I'm born again or not. Depends on whether He was in a good mood the day I prayed to be born again. God's not a liar. It's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, every single one of these things that I've talked about tonight are available to you and me. There are no exceptions. All of us. It's not that you'll become me and I'll become you. In other words, all of our personalities will become identical. No. Uh-uh. It just means that who you are as an individual will mature into these things in Christ. Your born-again life will develop its own integrity, if you will. But all of this is available. And the thing is, it's totally up to every one of us. The downside to a message like this, that once you hear it, there are no excuses. I mean, there weren't any before. But once you hear this, it's like, really? Honestly? You'd be out of line to ever come to me again and say, I can't. Or to go to somebody else and say, I can't. To say, I don't know why. To say, I don't understand how come not. Because what I'm telling you here in this message is, if you will do what's necessary, us, if me, you and I, all of us, if we'll do what's necessary to mature spiritually, all of these things are going to start happening. It won't be an overnight thing. It's growth. It's spiritual growth. That's why, like the Bible talks about, don't be weary in well-doing, because you will reap eventually what you're sowing. So if you're sowing to the Spirit, you're going to reap life. Or, put another way, you're going to reap all the benefits of spiritual maturity. So how do we get to that place of spiritual maturity? What do you think? First and foremost, praying in tongues. Now, I'm not saying that praying in tongues is better than anything else. Yet what I'm saying is that praying in tongues in one manner of speaking is better. Now, here's why. Because if you don't understand how to meditate the Word of God, praying in tongues is going to enable the Holy Spirit to help you learn how to meditate the Word of God. If you have a hard time believing that confessing the Word of God is going to make any kind of a change whatsoever, praying in tongues will enable the Holy Spirit to help you get to the place of understanding and believing that confessing God's Word will begin to make a change. If you have a hard time believing that fasting, that fasting is going to do you any benefit whatsoever, praying in tongues will enable the Holy Spirit to help you get to the place of realizing that that fasting will help you. If you have a hard time believing that getting alone and worshiping without any music and just praising God, that private worship is going to do you any benefit whatsoever, praying in tongues will help you get to the place of understanding that private worship will be of benefit. So if you don't feel like fasting and you don't feel like meditating in the Word, meditate in the Word. Where do I start? What do I do? Well, first off, there's a whole bunch of teaching tapes out there about that that will help you. Well, what about this worship? What do I sing? How great thou art? Well, yeah, you could. I mean, that is a good song. But there are tapes out there about worship you could get and look. Praying in tongues is that divine communication with the third person of the Godhead. Praying in tongues is direct communication with the Almighty. If you don't, listen, I'm going to tell you right now, and I know some folks won't like this, maybe not here, but some folks maybe get a hold of this and listen to it. If you don't pray in tongues, you flat out are not going to mature spiritually the way that God wants, because in your own mind, you don't know how. That's why when you pray in tongues, you're tapping into the mind of God. You're tapping into the mind of Christ, and you're receiving information and teaching from the mind of God. And He's downloading into you, in the realm of your spirit, information you need relative to growing and maturing spiritually. And listen, for myself, all I can tell you is that I would not be where I am right now, regardless of where that is, as far as fulfillment of my calling, I would not be where I am right now if I hadn't prayed in tongues. Listen, I can tell you, right, I can guarantee you, there are some people that I've known from my past. I'm talking about since I came back to God over the last 25 years. There are some people I know from my past from 22, 23, 25 years ago. They didn't know me as a sinner boy, but they knew me as a Christian. Spirit-filled, I could bring them in this place and let them sit down for one service, and they would see something in me that they never saw, possibly see something in me that they didn't think was possible because of what they knew about me before. I prayed in tongues, and I got results, and I'm still getting results. And I want to encourage you tonight, everything that I've shared here from God's Word, everything that I've shown you, this is the image that God wants of you. Have you ever seen those little books? I used to like them when I was a little kid, like Connect the Dots. Remember that? And you turn the page and there's 1, 2, 3 and all these little dots. And you're supposed to draw the line from dot 1 to dot 2 to 3 to 4. And by the time you're done, you've got like a picture, right? Well, have you ever looked at some of those Connect the Dot things and you can tell what it's going to be after you connect the dots? Okay, what I've shown you tonight is a bunch of dots. But you connect those dots through spiritual maturity. And the end result is the image of Christ. And you become all of this. That's pretty good, isn't it? Thank you, Jesus. Connect the dots, hallelujah. Listen, I don't care what side of the town you grew up in. I don't care what kind of school you went to. I don't care how much money you make, how much you don't make. I don't care what your life has been like. I don't care what people have called you. I don't care. It doesn't matter unless you let it. If you let those things control your life and your destiny, then you're as far as you're going to go in Christ. But God is saying, listen, that's not what I have painted in my Word. Look closely at these dots that are before you. You can see what you can become. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Get into the Word. Meditate in the Word. Worship. Do some of that, you know, F stuff. Fasting. Yeah. And begin connecting these dots. And begin to see what will happen in your life. Listen to this. The Bible says that all of God's promises in Him are yea and amen. And everything I've shown you tonight is a promise from God. I mean, it's guaranteed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Guaranteed. You could become everything. And like I said, there is so much more in here that we could have gone through. But I think tonight, this list is a pretty good list. Please believe this. Please accept this. Preaching to myself too. Do these things that will cause you to grow spiritually. If you're not going to do the other three, at least give yourself over to praying in tongues. Let it happen. It will work. It will produce. You will get the results. And all of these promises will begin to manifest, including the ones that we didn't talk about tonight. Praise God, this is not a pipe dream. This is spiritual reality that God has promised us. Praise the Lord. So connect the dots. Hallelujah.